I'm coming down here with you guys today. I don't feel like standing up there. I got to ask you a question. How many of you have been on the beach in the last couple of days? All right. Do you ever go out onto the beach and look out there and see sort of what some people are wearing and think to yourself, what are they thinking? You know, I mean, you look out and you say, you know, what you can wear when you're 22, you can't wear when you're 62. It's almost as though they don't have any clue of what time it is in their life. What time is it in their life? I wonder how many times I know what time it is in my life. Do you know what time it is in your life? Because where you are now is different than you were even 10 years ago. Where you are now should reflect a difference than where you were 20 years ago. What time is it in your life? So often in times, I believe that we forget, as we especially grow older, what time it is in our own life, because we think, well, I can still handle it the way I did. And yet, those days are gone. But God is still with us. You know, as I read the gospel for today, the one thing I realized more clearly than ever before in the gospel of John is that Jesus really is presented as always knowing what time it is in his own life. Today we have the story start by saying, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. The hour has come. Now Jesus is preaching or praying in this case. I mean, when he looks up to heaven, whenever they have, and they looked up to heaven or their eyes went up, you know, it means that they're praying. And this prayer comes to us basically from the perspective of the Last Supper. I mean, this is the pastoral prayer that is recorded during the Last Supper. He knows he's going to be crucified soon. He knows he's going to be arrested. He knows that everything is going to go on. And he knows that his time, the hour has come to be glorified. The word glorified in the Gospel of John, almost every time you read it in the Gospel of John, you can almost translate it to mean intimate. In other words, the best example I can give you is, you know, the glory that you gave to me, Father, I gave to them, and now they have that glory. In other words, the intimacy you gave to me, Father, in the Son gave it to you and me. In other words, we're intimate. And the glory he's talking about is coming back into that close relationship, that intimate relationship, being there with him. But he knows the hour has come for that fullness to come and for that intimacy to go back to where it was prior to him coming to this earth. Jesus always knew what the time was. He knew how to live in the moment that he was supposed to be in. I mean, look at it. You know, the first meeting, the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, okay? What happens there? You got a wedding going on. Jesus and his disciples get invited. Jesus' mother Mary gets invited. It's probably one of the relatives, because those towns really were kind of incestuous. And, you know, they all came together. And here you have, you know, Mary comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, they're about ready to run out of wine. This whole party's going to go bust. You know, do something about it. And what is Jesus' response to Mary? My hour is not yet here. It's not yet time for me to do that. What happens further down the road? And over again, the disciples say, listen, you've been doing a lot of really good miracles. You know, we know you're the Messiah. Let's go to Jerusalem. We'll start this whole thing and start moving. He says, it's not the right time now. Jesus at every turn knew what it meant to be in the right time. Knew what it meant to not have it be the right time. He knew what time it was in his own life. I guess the question I ask, do we know what time it is in our own life? I mean, how many times have you ever said the exact right thing, the thing that needed to be said, but you did it at all the wrong time? Men, if you are married, you have to say yes to that question. You said what you needed to say, and maybe it was even the right answer, but you said it at all the wrong times. Any of you who have children, especially teenage to grown children, know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to get them right. And the things that you're saying are true. But you come at it in all the wrong times and all the wrong places at all the wrong times. You see, Jesus knew the right thing to do and knew at the right time to do it. And that's what we're called to do. The reason why I knew that is because Jesus had a rhythm and intimacy with the Father that was powerful and palpable and real. He knew what it meant to walk with him. Why? Because Jesus realized without a shadow of doubt he was not the center of the universe, that his Father was the center of the universe. I think that's where most of us go, you know, wrong. We think, sort of, maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, we think we're the center of the universe. By God, I got to get this off my chest. I got to do it now. By God, I got to say this right now. I got to fix this thing right now. I mean, men, I'm going to pick on you again. How many times have you ever had your spouse try and talk to you about a problem that's going on, and immediately you say, well, we can go fix it right now. And really, all they want you to do is listen. That's all they want you to do is listen. They don't want you to fix anything. They just want you to be. Because it's in the being that the intimacy takes place. Jesus knew what that rhythm is, because that rhythm was not a chronological understanding of, you know, the eternal life. It was a relational understanding of eternal life. And that's what he presents. He says very clearly this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, most of us, when we look at eternal life, we think, oh, I'm going to grow old forever. But eternal life isn't a chronological thing. Eternal life is an in-depth, intimate relationship with the living God that is right here now in the eternal moment that you are in. It's being in rhythm with God and walking with Him and in a sense, dancing with Him. All of life is the dance. But who's your partner when you dance? It's got to be God that's your partner when you dance. And it's then that you realize the rhythm. And then you know what happens? You start saying the right things that you probably knew were right. But you say them at the right times. And you get to the place where all of a sudden, you know what to do, the next right thing, and when to do it. You know how to act your way into right thinking, not think your way in right acting. You know how to live in the moment. You know how to live in the moment. You know how to apply those things that are true in your life so that you're with God in every part of your life. But you got to know what time it is in your life. You got to realize where you are right now. I mean, where are you? What's going on in your life? What's going to happen? I mean, if you're still saying, I got to make my future, and you're, you know, in your late 60s, well, you still can make a difference in this world. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you probably aren't going to find your career at this point. And if you keep thinking, well, somehow I got to hold on to my ego at this point, well, you know, this is the time you should be kissing your ego goodbye. It's the time when you should be settling into yourself and trusting God and serving others and encouraging other people along the way. See, Jesus knew how to do that. You know, I always love the story of the Ascension. I mean, here we are the Sunday after the Ascension. Ascension Day was this last you know, Thursday, it was 40 days after Easter, and we celebrate the Ascension, and you had the scriptures for the Ascension read in the book of Acts that Jane read, and it's an incredible story, because what it says is this. It says that Jesus leads the 11, that's everybody but Judas, the apostles. They go out to the Mount of Olives, and they get out there. It's about a Sabbath day journey, so it's only a little bit of distance, and they get out there, and while he's there, the first questions as they are talking to Jesus, and they know he's going to be ascending, the first questions out of the apostles' mouths are, now, is this the time you're going to restore Israel to what it was supposed to be? And Jesus looks at them and says, you know, I'm about ready to leave. I would have thought you said, if I was Jesus, I would have said, you know, it would have been nice if you said, you know, I really love you, Jesus. I can't wait to see you again. But no, you want to know about what you want to know about. You want your agenda. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or have the authority to know those times. But, he says, but wait. Wait, because you will be clothed with power from the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the earth. At that point, what happens? Jesus ascends into heaven. He ascends into heaven. And all the 11 are like this. It's kind of like looking for a space shot after you know it's been gone, but you're still, I mean, think about it. If you go out and watch a space shot take off, sometimes every once in a while, after it's gone for a while and the crowd's dispersed, you still see somebody up there like this. And that's what the apostles were doing. They were still looking. Lo and behold, two men dressed in white, we can presume they were allegedly angels. And they come and they say, what are you looking into the heavens for Jesus for? The same way as he went is the way he's going to come. He's basically looking at them and he's rebuking them. And he's basically saying, why are you keeping your eyes on the past? Why don't you live in the present? Go. You know what you were told to do. Go and be witnesses. Witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Go and be witnesses. And what does it mean to be a witness? Jesus laid it out pretty clearly. To be a witness is when somebody's hungry, you give them something to eat. Somebody's thirsty, you give them something to drink. When somebody's sick or in prison, you go and visit them. All things that you can manage. There's not anything that's, needs like, Superman powers. All things that you can do. You can say hello to someone. You can be hospitable to somebody. You can share with him the love of God without using words more powerfully than sometimes you can with words. And that's what your job is to be a witness. But to be a witness right smack dab in the present. Not keeping your eyes there saying, geez, I wish you would come back. You know, there's an old saying. It says that, you can only see God in the past. You can only hope for God in the future, but you can only experience God in the present. And we are, as Christians, are not people who are people of the past or people necessarily even of the future. We are people of the present. Why? That's why Jesus' name, when the Lord speaks to Abraham, what's he say his name is? I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. I'm right here, right now. And it's knowing that he's right here. Why? Because the time is now. The time is here. The hour has been fulfilled. It's knowing what time it is in your own life. What time is it in your own life in relationship with the living God? Because to have eternal life means to know the one and true God and to know the one who he sent, Jesus Christ. And to have eternal life means that you come at it relationally. What it basically means is this, is that life is you being in relationship with your environment around you. And you know what death is? The cessation of being in relationship with the earth, the sky, the seas, the people that are around you, other human beings, and God himself. When you are not in relationship with the things that are around you, then you are dead. When you are in relationship with the things that are around you and God, then you are alive. And that's what he's saying, basically, in that eternal life, is to know God as the one and true God and know the one who he sent. How much are you aware of the world around you? Or do you think you're the center of the universe? I'm fully guilty of a lot of times thinking I'm the center of the universe. And to tell you the truth, that my opinion is better than everybody else's. And that's where I go wrong. And that's where I forget the time that I am in. That's when I forget what time it is in my life. And that's when I miss God at work in the world about me. This past Friday, I was listening to NPR for the news, and there was a special on it. It was kind of interesting because they were talking about the bombings in Manchester. And it's almost like we've had so many disruptive experiences in these last 10 years that almost it's like that's commonplace rather than peace being the commonplace, which it should be. And they were talking about how this man that was talking was that when he was a little boy, how the news would frighten him so much. It would just frighten him. And he talked about, when he was a little boy, 8, 9, 10 years old, something like that, the Oklahoma City bombings took place, and how, he was just scared to death. But then he said this. He said, the one place that I really got some comfort from was watching NPR and watching Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a wonderful day. Will you be my neighbor? Will you be my friend? Okay. What Fred Rogers did, though, in one of his episodes was this. He talked not specifically about what was in the news, but about things that used to scare him and what his mother used to say to him when he was scared. Let me read to you this little excerpt. Fred Rogers often told this story about when he was a boy and would see scary things on the news. He would say, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I'm always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. What Fred Rogers did in that little excerpt was really teach kids to change the paradigm and live in the moment you're in. You can't pretend the bad stuff wasn't there. But in the midst of the bad stuff, it's all in how you look at it. Do you look at just the destruction, or do you look at the people who have stepped up to the plate? The people in Manchester, those homeless guys that came to the rescue. You know, and so many other, those first responders who run in and sacrifice their life. On this Memorial Day, all the people that died for our freedom, that we can even sit here. The helpers, the ones who go beyond where it is. Because the truth of the matter is, those helpers are supposed to be you and me. Because we are the witnesses that go to Jerusalem and Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We are the helpers. We're the ones that they should be seeing. And as a Christian who lives in eternal life, living in the moment and moving forward in life, knowing that God is with us and being in relationship with the earth, the sky, the sea, the other humans, and God himself, then it's our job as witnesses to be those helpers. To offer the hand when somebody's down on the ground and needs to be picked up. To smile at somebody who looks sad. When somebody's hungry, give them something to eat. When somebody's thirsty, give them something to drink. When somebody's in prison or sick, you go visit them. Because you see, that's how we live into eternal life. And that's how we realize more clearly than ever before that we know what time it is in our own life. As you come to the Eucharist this day, know this. You're coming to the eternal moment in the Eucharist. You touch eternity when you participate in the Holy Communion. And in that Holy Communion, in that eternal moment, there's something that just happens. Where all of a sudden, you are transformed from a little bit less of what you are right now, and you turn into a little bit more what you ought to be, and you have the potential to be one of those helpers that Mr. Rogers talked about. As you come to the Eucharist, know this. Sometimes you'll walk on the beach and you'll look out there and you'll say, what are they thinking? But you don't have to be one of those people. You can be one of those people who say, let me help you along the way. Let me serve you. Let me care for you. Let me be the witness that Jesus called me to be. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.